Kevin Kurz joins us now. He covers the San Jose Sharks for The Athletic. Kevin, thanks very much for being with us. Hope you and yours are safe and well. So the Joe Thornton era ends in San Jose, and the Marlo Thornton era actually ends, although it ended when Marlo went to the Leafs. But end of the day, Kevin, the legacy of work, the fabulous career, the great stats that both Thornton and Marlo have had in San Jose, and I know Marlo is back now, are terrific. Yet, is there always going to be that kind of what should have been, might have been, could have been, that they only made it to one Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can ignore the fact that for all the good that they did here, and as beloved as they both are, you know, they never got over that hump. And, you know, it's obviously unfortunate if you're a Sharks fan. But at the same time, I mean, you know, Thornton in 15 years here, the team made the playoffs in 13 of them. They made some deep runs. Obviously some real thrilling moments here. One of the game's all-time great players is going to be known primarily as a Shark in Thornton and, you know, and Marlo too, but particularly Thornton, because I don't think there's any question he's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, I think, what is he sit, seventh all-time right now in assists. So, you know, I think right now that the mindset with the Sharks fan base here is they're a little devastated, and I can empathize with that, but at the same time, I think they'd love to see him win a Stanley Cup. So if Toronto is able to make a deep run, I think he'll have some fans out here in California too.
What kind of, I guess, vacuum is going to be left in that locker room, on the ice, just overall, even in the community, with Joe Thornton gone after 15 years? How big of an adjustment is it going to be for the San Jose Sharks not to have Joe Thornton around and in the lineup anymore?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it two different ways. If you're looking at it from, you know, maybe the off-ice impact on the organization, obviously he's, again, one of the most popular, probably the most popular player that's ever played here in San Jose, at least since I've been here for 9 years. And, you know, I think that's sort of guiding the Sharks' philosophy from the front office, is that this is a season in which we might not have fans in arenas, certainly probably not going to have, you know, packed arenas. So you're going to be taking a financial hit anyway. And I think that's maybe why the Sharks have approached this offseason a little bit more carefully, where they're really just sort of kicking the can to next season, I think. You know, obviously they want to compete this year, but I don't think the goal is to go all out to win a Stanley Cup. And then on the ice in the dressing room, you know, the dressing room changed when Joe Pavelski left last offseason. That was a major, you know, change to the room, because, you know, Pavelski was just a true captain, somebody the team followed, really the heartbeat of the team. And as beloved as Joe was, I think Joe Pavelski was the more natural captain. And when he left, and some other big personalities in the room, whether it be Brent Burns, Eric Carlson, Evander Kane, you know, they just had a tough time getting all on the same page and really playing for one another. And we saw far too many instances last year in games where the other team just wanted it more. They were playing harder, and the Sharks just never really seemed to find an identity. And that was mainly, I think, because Joe Pavelski left. I think a lot of guys would say the same thing. So Thornton leaving will be a void, but at the same time, maybe you can look at it as Logan Couture will be in the second year as captain. And by no means am I putting the culture on you know, the culture problems here on Joe Thornton, but Logan Couture could maybe take over a little bit and become a bigger voice in the room and maybe become that captain that I think this team needs. But still, that said, you know, everybody loves Joe Thornton. They're going to miss him terribly in the room. Guys like Brent Burns, Evander Kane, Logan. I mean, he's meant so much to Logan Couture's career, as Logan told me yesterday. So it will be a void, and it will certainly be a different place.
So, Kevin, let's then think for a moment or two, and you saw him throughout his career in San Jose, and the resume and the past is one thing. Tick, Hall of Famer, 100%. The emotional impact, leadership, tick, 100%. But what I think Leaf fans are trying to figure out, and probably the Leafs will have to figure out, is what does he have left physically at age 41 to still be able to contribute at the National Hockey League level, given the fact he's not going to play, get a lot of ice time with the top six forwards they have in Toronto. That's one no-brainer. Like, people talk about guys finishing their career, trying to win a Stanley Cup, change of scenery, taking 700. He is coming home, so that's that personal thing from him. But from the playing standard, we saw him get some frontline time this year with the Sharks. Frankly, a lot of it was in garbage time. But end of the day, he still performed well. He's in Davos. He had an assist today. He can still play.
Yeah.
But what do we expect from what should we expect from a 41-year-old guy who may only wind up playing third or fourth line minutes in Toronto?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting because, first of all, I don't think anybody can predict how a 41-year-old is going to look after what might be a 10 or 11th month layoff when you consider the Sharks have, you know, their last game was March 11th, I think. So, you know, right away, again, you have to worry, I think, about that long layoff and how he's going to be affected by that. But, you know, I've been telling anybody that'll listen, and this was even deep in the last season when the Sharks were struggling, Joe can still play and he can still contribute. And I believe he can still contribute to a contender. And, you know, if you look at last season, you know, well, let's go back 2 years. If you go back to 2018-19, when the Sharks did make a run to the Western Conference Final, you know, Joe was on the third line with Marcus Sorensen and Kevin LeBanc. And for about a two-month stretch late in the regular season, that was the Sharks' best line. And, you know, they struggled a little bit in the playoffs. Maybe the extra minutes caught up to Joe. And you know, they didn't have quite the impact in the playoffs that maybe some would have hoped. But, again, he was still a very, very good player that year. And then you look at this season, you know, the Sharks went into the season with no depth on their wings. They had lost Joe Pavelski, Gus Nyquist, Jonas Donskoy in the offseason. They had hoped to get a push from underneath some of their prospects. It didn't happen. Joe was still on the third line. And then his line mates really took a step back. Marcus Sorensen was the most disappointing player on the team last season. Kevin LeBanc can score and work in the offensive zone, but still struggled in the other two zones. So when we saw in the second half, when Logan Couture got hurt, when Thomas Hurdle got hurt, and Joe got more minutes with better line mates, guys like Timo Meier, he was better. He could still produce. So, you know, at this stage of his career, I think you do have to surround him with obviously some good players, but Toronto has certainly better options right now to surround him with better players than the Sharks would.
For sure, no doubt. And you look at what the Leafs roster looks like, and you see some of the players he could play with. Like, I could see him being impactful on the third line with speedy players around him. And we've been talking about this throughout the show. I'm really curious to see what kind of impact he could have on the power play, because we know that, you know, in terms of power play assists, he's always been one of, if not the league leaders for years and years. And he has as good of a vision as anyone you can think of for a very long time. You know, if you plop him onto the first power play unit with Matthews, Tavares, Marner, and, you know, maybe Nylander or Riley, what kind of impact can Joe Thornton have setting up those players on the power play?
Yeah, that was maybe where he did take a little bit of a step back last season was the power play. It was hot and cold for the Sharks. He still does have that vision, and there were still moments where he would be vintage Joe, and he'd set somebody up for a goal, and he would look like the guy who won the Hart Trophy in 2006. Obviously, those moments weren't as frequent as they used to be, but yeah, I mean, on the power play, he can still protect the puck so well. He's still got that big body along the wall, creating room for other guys, waiting, being patient. You know, we know he's a passer, not a shooter at this stage in his career. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I actually am interested to see how they work that myself. But, I have to think they find a way to utilize him in that sort of a situation, just because it is a situation that he can still thrive in.
Well, we'll see, and there's no question the Leafs are very happy to have him. So you look forward from, you know, their perspective, and you mentioned Logan Couture now taking the mantle there, Kevin. And, you know, it's easy enough to say that the Sharks are in, you know, kind of their, all right, Joe Thornton's going to Toronto because trying to win a cup, and he's not going to win it in San Jose. But so do we look, there's still some great pieces there. Where do you see the big jigsaw puzzle going in San Jose? Are they in danger of maybe being, unfortunately, if it happens this way, the new Detroit, where they just can't, you know, really do a full rebuild? They just want to stay competitive, and then eventually, you know, things just fall apart. That's what happened in Detroit. They just waited too long to do the nasty business of really doing it. Or do you look at it as, well, you know what, hold on, there's still a pretty good nucleus. Wilson's a pretty good GM, and there's enough here to keep this team, even if they're not going to win the Stanley Cup next year, that there won't be a massive, ugly 3-4 years coming up. What's the future in your mind of the Sharks?
Yeah, you know, I'm not super hopeful going into this season just because I think there are too many question marks, you know, but if certain things come together, or if a lot of things come together, I guess, sure, could they still compete? They do. They still have a lot of high-end pieces, but, you know, the questions for me start, number one, Erik Karlsson. He had groin problems his first season here, and they affected him into the playoffs. And, you know, last season started off really strange for him. That literally opening night in Vegas, he had to fly home because his wife gave birth. And obviously that was an emotional moment for him just because of everything they had been through. And so he went through a lot, you know, between the groin surgery in the offseason, signing the monster contract, welcoming a new kid, new baby to his family. We'll see how he comes back. You know, the guy's only 30 years old. I'm not going to write him off yet, certainly. I know a lot of people think his best days are behind him, and that can very well be true. So, you know, we'll find out that. You know, the Sharks, they did add a few pieces at the wing, and they brought in Matt Nieto, Ryan Donato they got from Minnesota. So Doug Wilson's looking for a little bit more depth on the wing just because it was so, you know, that was really their biggest weakness last season, other than maybe the goaltending. And they bring in Devin Dubnyk, who's coming off a rough season himself, and pair him with Martin Jones. I don't think that's a tandem you look at and automatically say, well, that's a playoff level goaltending tandem, just because those are two guys that have something to prove. So, you know, we'll see. Again, I think Doug Wilson's approach to the offseason is just try to add to the periphery, see if this core group can get it together. And if they can't, that's when you make the changes, if you can. But, you know, as you mentioned, his hands are tied a little bit just because it seems every guy on a big long-term contract has some sort of trade restriction built into that contract.
Yeah, so looking at I guess, Burns and Vlasic specifically have been pillars there for so, so many years. You know, Vlasic's 33, Burns is 35. Both have at least a no-trade or a no-move clause altogether. Both are signed at $7-plus million through 2025. If there does come a point where, you know, the tea leaves are there and maybe a change is best for one or both, how do you think, you know, one of those players or maybe both of those players would be in terms of maybe waiving that and moving on? Or are they pretty entrenched and feel pretty confident and comfortable that they're going to be in San Jose for a long time?
Yeah, when you look at those two, Burns is definitely the guy that would have more trade value. Just, you know, in a hypothetical scenario where both guys didn't have no trade protection. Again, Burns, you know, but Burns can still play. He can still really contribute in the offensive end. He's never going to be Nicklas Lidström in the defensive end, but he still can skate. He can still fire the puck. He's still big. He takes care of himself off the ice. So I do believe Burns could be a guy that can contribute. Vlasic has really struggled the last couple of years, and you know, he's got the full no movement clause. So I heard some things last year where he was potentially, you know, Montreal was looking at him. That was a potential return home for where he's from. That didn't come to fruition, obviously. So I don't know. I tend to think that the Vlasic contract is the one that's probably the one that the Sharks might be stuck with. But you look at Burns, you know, he's got a limited no move clause, so they could expose him in the expansion draft, unless there's some sort of a verbiage in his contract that we don't know about. But as far as I know, they can expose him in the expansion draft. And you know, Burns and Joe Thornton are best buddies, right? And you have to wonder if Burns is going to be as happy in San Jose here without Joe around. And you mentioned he's getting older. Does he want to be part of what could be a couple lean years here? Does he want to go try to win a Stanley Cup somewhere? So I could see that as a potential at some point. If Burns is open to a move, I do believe the Sharks would be able to find someone for him. But, you know, the flat salary cap doesn't help any team like the Sharks for sure, because they do have a lot of these big money contracts, and we've seen just as many teams trying to shed salary this offseason as at it.
We shall see. It's going to be a very different year for the Sharks. And before we let you go, Kevin, quickly, it's going to be a very different year for everybody. You got any theories of suggestions or a prognostication of how the NHL is even going to start up? Because, you know, after a very successful hub and the cup being presented, all good, the draft, the free agent, we get all excited. And now it's a case of, my goodness, who knows when we're going to see hockey again.
Yeah, you know, you're talking to a guy who hasn't covered a game since March, so I'd like it sooner than later. But One agent I was talking to today mentioned the hybrid bubble again, you know, maybe 3 weeks, maybe the Pacific Division teams or some sort of a Pacific Division, whether they split them up with the Canadian Division, they do a 3 weeks in Vegas, 1 week at home sort of thing. They got to figure it out, right? One way or another.
Got to figure it out, and hopefully they can do it and make it economically viable as well for next season. But we shall see. In the meantime, at least we've got some fresh news to talk about with Joe Thornton signing with the Maple Leafs. Kevin Kurz from The Athletic joining us to chat about it. Kevin, great stuff. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yep, anytime, guys. Take care.